This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, we are certainly going to welcome in a couple of moments one of our favorite guests of the past year, that's Brian Bonner, who looks at the paranormal with a skeptical eye. But let's first talk, Randall and I, about the appearance of Preston Dennett on last week's episode. Now, Preston is a crack investigator. He's got so many cases. It's just fascinating what he comes up with. The only quibble I had, and I didn't make a deal of it on the show, but I'll say so now. He doesn't talk about a spaceship, a craft, an aircraft. He reaches his conclusion in his description. He calls them ETs. I thought that's going a little bit far. What do you think, Randall?
Well, I guess it depends because, you know, in ufology, the jargon differs depending on who it is you're talking to. So for Preston, an ET might not necessarily mean something strictly interstellar or interplanetary, which are a little bit more accurate in terms of what we're describing. Sometimes I use the word alien just to indicate something from beyond the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization. So we may not know where they come from. We just know that they're coming from someplace, and it doesn't seem from within our society. So I don't really have too big of an issue with Preston using the term ET, unless he specifically is saying, well, yeah, I think they come from space, from another planet and another star system, which would make them interstellar. And although that's probably the most reasonable explanation, we still don't have enough evidence to be sure of that.
Brian, you're the more skeptical entrant in our little group here. What's your perception?
Well, if they're using the word ET, I mean, that really seems to have a predetermined definition. If I was going to determine, you know, looking at something and didn't know what it was, I really like the old-fashioned accurate term of UFO, unidentified, you know, where there may be a belief that it's something else up until the point that we can prove that it truly is a UFO, even if it's something, you know, our own military, as long as you don't know what it is, to you, that is truly a UFO.
But that's just in generic terms, in if you're taking the acronym and interpreting it literally. But if you go back to the people who actually created that term, the United States Air Force, a UFO is anything from just some unidentified vague object off in the distance. They are specifically observations that rule out every known natural and man-made phenomena that they could think of at the time through careful investigation, which leaves only one thing, and that's something alien. And that's what UFO really was. It was an acronym to replace flying saucers. So essentially, it's a euphemism. It's the same thing.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that we kind of look at is kind of where you were going with that, of saying that, how can I put this? Just because you can't explain what it is doesn't mean somebody else can't. And that's really been a hard part with researching anything paranormal, is you keep saying, well, I don't know what it is, therefore it's this. But then you go ask somebody else and they're like, well, maybe it was this. And the more you research, the farther away that paranormal thing seems to go, because there's so many different people with so many different ideas that you would have never even come up with. I think one of the most important things is just going and making sure that you scour all the experts that you can possibly come up with before you even try to come up with an explanation.
I think you bring up also something here about investigation, because I think most people who work as UFO researchers, they are sighting collectors. They're collecting Absolutely. The things that happen, the things that go bump in the night, and just like ghost hunters. They're ghost collectors or Bigfoot collectors. They're putting together information and assembling that information and applying theories to it like a scientist would. I don't think that's done very often. And I've criticized lots of organizations, some like the National UFO Reporting Center. It's a place to collect reports. We understand that. But where is the research going, Randall?
Oh, yeah, the hardcore research. Well, I guess we've got people like the Scientific Coalition for Ufology who are trying to bring more of a scientific attitude, for lack of a better term, to the subject matter. And I think that's really good. The problem is we can bring a scientific attitude, but without material evidence, we don't have any material to analyze. So we can have the attitude that, well, okay, perhaps we can look at it from a cultural phenomena and study the way people react to the various phenomena and look at it from an objective point of view. And I think that that's very helpful. But we can't still jump to the conclusion that, well, because somebody's looking at it from an objective point of view or even an academic point of view, that we have sufficient scientifically valid material evidence to conclude that UFOs are some interstellar craft. We can say there's something alien. I think we've got enough to say that, especially if we go with the actual USAF definition, because that's very specific. When we start moving off into the paranormal, though, then the whole thing becomes even more murky. At least with ufology, we've got like one definition that was set out back in the 50s and 60s by people who took it very seriously at the time. Then the paranormal came along, and there's sort of like almost anything goes, and everybody seems to interpret it according to their own self-serving interest. I mean, don't you find that, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, you know, kind of like you're saying, the whole paranormal thing has really added to the whole storyline of UFOs, especially. Pop culture has come into it so hard that, and it's the same with any of the paranormal, that people have this kind of predetermined, we know this is what it is, before they do any research with it. And most people have lost that ability to do the research. Kind of like you were saying, you know, back in the 50s, while we have explained a lot of this stuff, at least they were trying to come up with some explanations before just jumping to a conclusion.
You see, this is one of the reasons why some people accuse me of living in the past, because I bring up past researchers, past beliefs, and I say, what has changed? From the 50s, I don't mean, you know, someone who's really looking into different options. I mean, it was very quickly accepted by Major Kehoe in the 50s, 1950, flying saucers from outer space. There's your answer. The government is keeping it a secret. There's the other answer. Tell me what's different now, 2019.
Well, I think right now, kind of what you're looking at, what's different, people's perspective on what they believe it is. I mean, back then, you didn't have as many, as crazy as some of them may be, different theories on what they may be. You know, then you had, it was either something that was military or something that was extraterrestrial. And now, based on your belief system, it can be extraterrestrial, it can be multidimensional, it can be another creature. There's just so many different things that are tied into this now that weren't then. And I think being able to cut through and figure out which one of these or how many of these have actually been created through just, you know, urban legend, myth, pop culture, things like that, so we can start doing research on this again.
We'll cover more into the research and the ideas. Brian, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
In our previous section, Brian Bonner talking about the fact that there are more options to look at in terms of UFOs today, more possibilities as to what they might be. You want to go on with that thought?
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, like I say, you really need to be able to look at all of these explanations, and before you jump to a conclusion based on one of them, where did this concept come from? sometimes that'll help you rule things out. But kind of like you were alluding to before, we, in all of the paranormal, for the most part, we're not investigating things that are physical, that are measurable, that are something you can get a hold of. We're more or less collecting stories. We're listening to witness testimony. Between the 50s and now, we've learned that witness testimony isn't nearly as credible as we once thought it was, which is why they aren't allowing it in court for the most part these days. So, you know, at what point, how do we actually get a hold of something physical? How do we record something? And how do we determine with the little bit of information we have what this is, where it came from, what are the possibilities?
Well, you raised the biggest question here. It's anecdotal, that the evidence is the testimony, because there's very little physical evidence. And when there is, there are lots of things to dispute.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
You still have to weigh the fact that most people who see something in the sky or landed or whatever, they saw something. And the question is, how accurate can you determine the thing or things they saw?
Absolutely. And that is so difficult, given what we now know about human perception, how much things can influence your perception. Now, I'll give you an example. We had a case here that a family on kind of a punchline here, July the 4th, came home after seeing Independence Day 2, and they saw strange lights in the sky.
You know, if the fact they saw Independence Day 2, I thought they would vomit first.
Well, that's true. But the thing is, there's your pop culture right there. They had just seen aliens, you know, destroy the world, basically. And they came home and saw some lights in the sky. And because they were primed for it, they immediately jumped to the conclusion, without anything else, we are being invaded. So they were on the horn to the cops and the news as fast as they could because they were terrified. That's a natural human reaction. I mean, it's not their fault. But at the same time, you know, when we got called into it and looked at it, it turns out that it's part of a 4th of July display that happens every year. We tracked back that the previous year there'd been over 1,000 911 calls from this same display because everybody was seeing UFOs. You know, you would think that people would at least go, it's the 4th of July, there may be some strange lights in the sky. But because people immediately jump to that conclusion and they're afraid, they go for help.
Well, there is, of course, maybe also the will to believe that's got to be higher nowadays because UFOs are being taken seriously in the Washington Post, New York Times, Politico, and forgive this. Well, CNN and Fox News, whatever your poison is, both are taking it seriously.
Well, and you really need to look at just the saturation compared to 60 years ago. Right now, everywhere you go is something paranormal or UFO. Turn on the TV. Every channel has ghost hunting shows, has UFO shows, has cryptid shows. I'm a culprit as well. I just got done doing a series of talks at one of our local library systems that it was all about UFOs. And you walk into the building and every book in the place, obviously for that part of the talk, was specializing in this. It's so prevalent now, whereas 50 or 60 years ago, it wasn't, because it hadn't become that pop culture icon.
Well, 50 years ago or more, what happened in UFO research is that the news media would treat it as filler. Not enough murders or political shenanigans that day. Ah, we have a flying saucer story. Let's do that.
Oh, they still treat it as filler. I mean,
sure.
You'll find it at the... We'll do this segment at the last 10 minutes as long as nothing major happens. So it's never the lead story. And, I mean, even some of the things that have come from real scientific investigations into different things, all sorts of different scientific topics that should be the headline of the news, that the people don't care because it doesn't have that big grabbing title that you really need to sell advertising.
You know, the other day I saw an article that went under the radar speculating on whether we are living in a computer simulation, assuming then that some advanced race would create AIs that can mimic living beings and believe they are living. And there you go from there.
That one's been being batted around for a while now, and I think, and I'd tell you who the scientist was, but I'd be wrong, so I'm not going to make things up.
Well, this appeared in one of the major newspapers, I think,
right,
the New York Times.
But there was one scientist that came forward, and he said, is it possible? And he said, absolutely. However, there's probably no way we could ever find out. And in the grand scheme of things, it really wouldn't matter. Because to us, life goes on. It's the same thing, regardless if we're a simulation or not.
I guess it depends on how deep you want to think about that particular issue. Like, okay, so the Matrix really was brought that to the forefront. The whole idea has been around since the days of Plato.
Right.
But back in 2016, you may have even seen this, and I mentioned this every second or third show, or sometimes, I don't know, seems like every show lately, but the 2016 Isaac Asimov Memorial Debate. And that was hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson, had David Chalmers on there, and a host of particle physicists, Lisa Randall. I mean, people with serious credentials, and they're taking this very seriously and think that maybe there is a way that we can tell that we're in a simulated universe, and that's by looking at the background radiation,
right,
one of the ways, and studying the patterns that go on there to see if it adds up to being something that would be a natural pattern as opposed to something constructed, is the type of thinking that's going on there. That's really interesting, because if it does turn out that we're in that kind of a universe, life can change for us in some pretty dramatic ways, because no longer are we in this infinite void where things really have actual distance from the point of view of a machine. Everything is the same distance. It opens up the possibility of things like stargates, being able to simply find a coordinate, and if we could interact with the mainframe.
Ooh, more to come with Gene Randall. And Brian, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The problems in Portland, Oregon weren't as bad as many had expected. More than two dozen law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, were deployed to keep the peace in Portland, Oregon, after right and left wing groups rallied. There were 13 arrests and some weapons confiscated. Demonstrators came from around the U.S. The Proud Boys began, and self-described anti-fascists also showed to confront them. Before the event began, President Trump tweeted that major consideration was being given to designate the left group Antifa as a domestic terror organization. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, we're talking here about Stargate especially, because basically they're entering a dimension, or not a dimension, a location, specific numbers coordinating with the location of another Stargate. And once you have done that, you transfer from one Stargate to another instantaneously. But that's saying that even space, time is an illusion.
Actually, the Stargates, they're going on the idea of a wormhole. This would be more like maybe something like in the sci-fi series Battlestar Galactica, where they simply dial in a coordinate and the system just moves it there. There's no going through subspace or anything like that. So,
well, right. That's the thing. If it's a simulation, you don't have to travel.
Exactly.
It just puts you there. But then comes the question, not about space, not about anything like that, but then it kind of breaks down into ethical questions of if technically nothing around you is real, there's no repercussions, why hold back?
Oh, well, I mean, there is still repercussions, of course, because the fact that if we are a construct of some kind, we are a real construct of some kind. And if us as that construct, you and me, or planet, or universe, whatever it is damaged in some way, that has real consequences for us. And we can look at it in a positive or negative kind of way. Let's say we want to do mining off world. Well, imagine how much simpler it would be to be able to just transport to another planetary system directly without any real lapse of time and be able to do our work there, bring it back. I mean, the collection of resources would be so much simpler. So would colonizing the rest of the universe that we're in. So for us, it would be a really interesting, cool kind of thing if we could get to that point. If it is a simulation, if it's not, then we're stuck having to go like light years at, you know, light speed, or if it's possible to go any faster, which they were not even sure of, but then it becomes really a slow, clunky universe.
Well, I'd say that if it was truly a simulation and you could crack that code, there would be no reason for you to have to even find a way to easily get to that extra place and do it. All you'd have to do is crack the code and say, over in this area here, I need these materials.
Right, be able to manifest them.
And they would just be.
Yeah, who knows? That's the funny thing with paranormal. Those are some of the things that get described. And so the people that are into this theory that we live in some sort of construct, they're kind of drawn to this idea because it explains a lot of paranormal phenomena, things winking in and out of existence and alternate timelines and that sort of thing.
It's a possibility. And like I say, you know, we need to be able to look at every possible explanation that we can come up with and be willing to take other people's suggestions, criticism, to be able to say, okay, well, maybe I was wrong. I'll look at this. Even if we've come to a hard conclusion, the thing about science is science, it never finishes. It never comes to an absolute conclusion. There's always a possibility that we were wrong about something, and that's what science is there for, is to show us you were wrong. Here's the current version of what we know to be the truth.
Well, yeah, I guess at least within the parameters that we're still unsure of. I mean, there's things that we do establish with science, and that's the beauty of it. So, you know, things like geometry, we're not going to be able to change much of that. We've figured out how that works. The formula is always going to be the same, as long as you're in a 3D construct of some type.
That's what I was going to say, until you start going multidimensional, and then it starts doing some really bizarre things.
Yeah, but then we get into the whole math thing. And I mean, math is just an abstract. It's essentially an art form is what it becomes. It's not the real thing. They're just drawing reality with numbers instead of putting it on a canvas. We can do an Escher type staircase and map out all the points on it on a graph, but you still can't build the thing in the real world. And I think people who are really into math, they're so far into the math that they confuse it with the real world. I think there's just things that you can do with math that you can't do in the real world.
But if we are truly a computer simulation, we are math.
Right, but math has rules, and it can't break the rules, right? Otherwise, the system breaks.
Right.
So that's the whole point. Logic still seems to trump everything, right?
It's only as good as our code writer.
Well, I mean, if we're looking at dimensions, and this is one of the things that drives me crazy with people talking about dimensions, you know, higher dimensions and lower dimensions, and things coming from a higher dimension into a lower dimension, that is just not coherent in any way, shape, or form, because the nature of dimensions is that they're all dependent on the pre-existence of the lower one before you can get to the higher one, and therefore it works out that all dimensions must exist simultaneously or not exist at all. I don't know if you're following me there.
Oh,
but
absolutely. Well, yeah. You know, have you ever seen the, and I don't remember who came up with the experiment, where they were talking about two-dimensional creatures, and they were basically using just two dots of paper on a table. Saying,
right, the whole flatland thing.
Right, exactly. And something's above them. They have no concept of what that is. However, they can still see a shadow. They don't know where it's coming from because that third dimension is outside of their reality. So could something come from a quote higher dimension? Probably not. We may be able to see artifacts of it.
We'd have logically.
One of the things we couldn't get around it.
If you got the people in Flatland down there, okay, first of all, that's only, you know, length and width. You add three dimensions to that. So say now you can build a skyscraper. Well, that foundation for that skyscraper is going to be firmly planted in those two dimensions down there.
Right.
So they're just going to walk straight into that wall, and they're just, I mean, they can't do anything about it. They might not know what it's about, but it's going to be there.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, that was kind of one of the good explanations of that is, you know, something in a 4D space, we would be able to see, you know, they're like, here's a shadow of something that would be in a 4D space. We can't show you what it looks like, but we can show you what its shadow looks like because we can represent that. But we have no way to represent the actual thing.
Well, even then, I mean, the whole 4D thing is a bit of a misnomer, because when we're talking about spatial dimensions,
well, then
we only have the first three. Time isn't really a spatial dimension. And if you really look into the physics of it and the science behind that, they say that. It's like dimension for time is just sort of a convenience term. They don't mean it's like another spatial dimension. It's
right.
Just sort of a dimension that, well, we add this factor or facet of existence into the model that has our first three dimensions plus time as another aspect. But because it's synonymous with the word dimension, they say, well, it's another dimension of time, and then people confuse it as a spatial dimension. So it's no wonder that people have problems when they're starting to or trying to comprehend the whole thing.
Well, and I think, you know, you're kind of touching on right there of what we're doing with any of this is only as good as what we understand right now. And, you know, we're taking baby steps at this point. Do we need to do that? Absolutely. But, you know, a millennia from now, what we take as, you know, absolute fact and things that we know currently will have changed completely to, you know, things we can't even comprehend. But without these little baby steps of doing it, we'll never get there.
You know, I have a crazy idea here that I always entertain, or sometimes entertain, that reality is obviously changeable, and it changes based on our perceptions of that reality, because we are in part generating that reality. Of course, that goes to the co-creation theory for UFOs. And we'll get into some of that and more stuff. So I guess this week, of course, Brian Bonner, he takes a, shall we say, somewhat skeptical approach, scientific approach. We've got Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They hit did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I want to mention something we don't mention often enough, and that's the fact that we have another radio show we do called After the Paracast. We offer it as a supplement, add-on feature, to those who subscribe to Paracast Plus. You get the commercial-free version of this show, free of the network ads. After the Paracast can be anything. It can be post-game talk, talking about the episode, special features, continuation of the main episode with the guests, new guests. And, of course, recently we've had, over the past few weeks and continuing going forward, William Puckett, a UFO researcher from Montana, former weatherman, worked for the EPA, and he gives us new sightings of the week. To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. So I was giving you the folks, and Brian might have a comment, maybe Randall, that I sometimes entertain the thought of the reality is changing in the way as we perceive it. So maybe we did have a flat Earth at one time.
Yeah, okay, so we have, essentially, I'm a dualist, so I believe that there is an objective universe out there that is entirely separate from me, and that no matter what I think about it, it's going to exist at all in its own accord. Then there's our subjective reality, and that's our experience of the world. And so people's experiences of the world can be different from person to person, while the objective reality is going to remain constant. Yeah, this is a bit of a philosophical conundrum for some people because there are those who want to unite the two into some grand unified theory, but I'm just one of those who don't believe that's possible. And I think that people get so mixed up with the subjective side of it that they actually think that by imagining something and not doing anything objective about it, they can conjure it into existence, sort of the whole secret type of thing. What do you think of that, Brian?
I completely agree with you there that there are so many people that believe in that. And when we have anybody that has any kind of a paranormal experience, that kind of falls into that, where regardless of if it was real to the rest of the world, real to the base reality, to them, it was real. And that's something that's very difficult to tell people, even if I find something that absolutely has an explanation. When somebody has had something happen to them, it is so real that it becomes their reality, and it's almost impossible to tell them otherwise.
So I imagine you probably run into, it's one of those buzz terms that has been gaining in popularity, the whole cognitive dissonance thing.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you an example. You know, a lot of people in the paranormal world hate it, but we have had lots of cases of sleep paralysis, absolutely documented. when somebody has had that happen, and I've even had it happen to me, the experience is so real, it's almost impossible to convince somebody that it was anything else. Because to all of your senses, that happened to you. And when somebody comes to you and says, I know that you know for a fact that that happened, but it really didn't, you're attacking a belief, and that is really almost impossible to get through.
That's a common explanation. If it's not aliens, abductions are, or at least some of them, caused by sleep paralysis.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, it's got to meet a lot of criteria to fit that. You know, you can't just go, hey, they saw an alien, it must be sleep paralysis, or hey, this must, there's a lot of things you have to, you know, jump through some hoops before you can say, yes, it was sleep paralysis. But there are a lot that do qualify for that.
There's something here that, you know, when you started talking about belief systems, that I wanted you to sort of go through with this, because I found it fairly interesting. And I have to apologize, because I only just managed to skim through it when I found it the other day, but it's on your website at RockyMountainParanormal.com. And it's this thing called the Denver ET Commission, where it looks like, it looks like they actually were trying to bring in some sort of a department within the city to deal with the presence of extraterrestrials. And what was that? What was going on with that?
I really wish I could explain that a lot better than I can. While this is going to sound terrible, but I just have to put it this way. While a lot of UFO experiences and experiencers are at least genuine to the people who have that experience, and a lot of people do see things that they can't explain or that maybe hasn't been explained yet, there are certain cases such as this one where everything from the bottom up was basically fraud. And that's kind of the reason that we jumped in on it. What happened is there was a reported UFO abductee whose initial experiences included videotaping an alien looking in his living room window.
The Romanek thing, right, or something?
That's the one.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. We know what most any credible UFO ufologist thinks of that, but anyway, please carry on.
Well, and that's why I was saying, you know, this whole thing was kind of based on a fraud to start with. But then you add a person who was going to see this, who was extremely biased towards these type of just over-the-top beliefs, without any critical examination. And he was a local Denver resident. So he decides that he's had quite a few failed attempts at other committees, like not extraterrestrial, but still kind of fringe ideas that have failed. So he gets a hold of this one and says, the aliens are among us. We need to do something about it. And puts together what's more or less a welcoming committee for the extraterrestrials that are here. And at that point, it kind of upset me. First of all, we knew where the evidence was coming from, and we knew the quality of it. And secondly, I figured the amount of money that it was going to cost to have this whole thing done was, at the time, especially uncalled for. We need infrastructure. We need schools. We need all sorts of things that money would be helpful for. And this was going to take a lot of that away. So the only thing that we figured we could do was counteract it. So there was a big announcement that they were going to show the video, the Romanek video, and the world, for some reason, took note. I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay.
The stars aligned, whatever it was. Uh-huh. But everybody was here. I mean, every national news outlet showed up for this press release. But they wouldn't actually release the video. They just showed it and released a still. And the night before the press conference, because we had seen the video at a local UFO conference, we recreated all of the evidence that they had. Because most of their claims were this could not be reproduced. Or if it could be reproduced, it would take, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars and Hollywood special effects people. And it was just insane. So we decided the only way to do this is to try and see if we can recreate it, which is always a good way to, you know, approach looking at anything. And for less than $100, and that's including a domain name and a website to put it on, we recreated all their evidence. And we had it up that night. Unfortunately, because he didn't release the video, ours all of a sudden was the official video. And ours was much better. Uh-huh. You know, we were doing it from, you know, 6 months ago memory. And like I was saying, you know, memory's a bad thing. So we were like, okay, we think it looked like this. It kind of looked like this. They claimed it blanked. So we did all of this and made a far superior video and released it. And when that press conference hit, the news media went insane. And we went from taking on average, I don't know, 500 to 1,000 hits a day on our website to taking about 5 million an hour.
Whoa.
It was insane. Next thing we know, we're doing national news broadcasts, international news all over the place, trying to explain, well, you know, why we're doing this. Because everybody's like, well, you're just picking on the aliens. And it's like, no, we're bringing in some reality to this and trying to save, well, some reputation for the city and hopefully some money for the city so they can spend it on things that we know they need.
We've got more to come with Brian, Gene, and Randall. That means you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.